You are now listening to the Doula Road Trip Podcast. Doula, my name is Jarielle and I am a certified doula. After a quick and unsuccessful start in the birth industry over 6 years ago, I am returning in order to turn my passion into my career. In this show, I am going to share with you my journey, and my hope is that we together can start up and stay up doing the work that we absolutely love. This podcast will be a resource, it will be a tool, and it will also be a point of reference for you as you start your journey into birth work. I want to share everything that I wish I knew before I started and answer some frequently asked questions that constantly pop up in birth work, even now, 6 years later. I would love for you to be able to find inspiration, to find community, and to also be encouraged that the work that you love can absolutely be the work that you do for the rest of your life if you want. So let's go ahead and get into the show. Today's episode of the Doula Road Trip Podcast is brought to you by Doula Night School. Are you working a 9-to-5 that drains you and makes you feel like you're wasting time and energy building someone else's dreams? Do you feel a pull to support expecting families, but thought of starting a new journey just overwhelms you? Where do I even start? How do I find the right doula training organization? There are so many options. How can you afford the training? How do I connect with other aspiring doulas? The list of questions and thoughts goes on. And listen, I know because I've been there. Even with the overwhelm you're feeling, you're still ready to take the leap because the desire you have to live in your purpose, you just can't ignore, right? 2022 is the year you want to make your doula dreams a reality. You just need a roadmap or some sort of guidance or mentorship. And if this is you, I want to personally invite you to enroll in Doula Night School. This is a live virtual class in which you will learn the steps you need to take to become a doula, how to find a training organization that aligns with you and your values, how to make the most of your experience, and how to connect with people who will build an amazing community and accountability as you continue on your journey, and so much more. Doula Night School is going to happen on Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check the link in the description to pay just $20.22 to enroll in this masterclass today. I am so excited to support you along with my beautiful co-host Deja. And we are going to pour into you. We're going to get you all of the information that you need to really make this dream a reality this year. So check the link in the description. Go ahead and just pay $20.22. And we will make sure that you get the best, okay? We'll make sure you get the clarity that you need to make your dreams a reality.
Happy Black History Month. Deja and I are super excited to come back for another co-host episode.
Yeah.
Deja, how has your week been?
I know, same thing. This year has this theme of really high highs and really low lows. And I'm trying to find some equilibrium, trying to like swing to the middle and stay in the middle. How has your week been?
It's funny. I saw a meme today that said January was the longest year ever, and I definitely feel like I just went through like a 31-day year. We did do a road trip, shockingly enough, which is appropriate for this platform. We did a road trip. We ended up going to Chicago, Illinois, into Lexington, Kentucky, and my dad drove the whole entire time. And I do feel like I got to hit like a brief reset and just to unwind and let everything go for a minute. I also feel like because I came back on Monday instead of coming back on Sunday, like it threw off my week. So all week I've been trying to figure out like, what day is it? What do I have to do? Like all of the things. But yeah, I feel like I'm going to get more road trips in my life. And I'm super excited to plan a road trip for this podcast. My dad was saying that in the car, like, really need to plan a road trip for the podcast. And I was like,
yes,
I thought about doing that. And now that he said that, it feels like confirmation. you were getting on me offline about all the things I have on my plate. So I guess it'll be in the second half of the year. Because I don't think anything else can happen before June. But yeah, that'll be dope to do some sort of summer road trip and to meet some of the amazing people like you guys who have been listening to the podcast for a year. And just really record live maybe somewhere or mastermind and workshop or I don't know. We'll figure it out. But we super dope to actually take a doula road trip for the Doula Road Trip podcast.
Yes, we're about to make it happen. Y'all let us know where y'all at because we talk offline all the time. Y'all hit us up on Instagram and let us know what city you're in because we'll pop through. We've been talking about taking more trips and doing more things. So I'm all for it. Let's do it. Let's go on a road trip.
Yeah, let's do it. I definitely know Atlanta has to be one of the cities that are on the map. Like Deja lives in Georgia, for y'all that don't know. So Deja lives in Georgia and we were doing Instagram Live so heavy in December and a lot of the doulas from Atlanta were showing up and showing out and have become fast friends. So definitely Atlanta would have to be on the map. So if we were to do like the East Coast road trip, you guys let us know where we should go. But speaking of things that we have coming up tomorrow, we are doing a doula night school that is how to attract your first client. And I wanted to dive a little bit into that today on the podcast because I feel like it's not something that we talk about from a doula perspective, right? I've had other guests come on and they talked about marketing, they talked about client attraction, but there's so much to this in the doula world. And we started coaching some new and aspiring doulas recently and seeing so many things that I feel like we're doing that are mistakes that we're making when it comes to attracting our first client or our next client. And I'm even guilty of some of these things. And so we wanted to dive into those today. I hope y'all are ready because I feel like some of the things are going to shock you guys.
Yeah. So go ahead and get your paper out. Really get your heart ready and open because, yeah, we're going to go there today.
Yeah. Okay. So mistakes doulas are making when it comes to attracting your first or next client. Deja, why don't we talk about the difference between getting a client and attracting a client? Because I feel like that's the basis for everything. And then we'll pop into social media.
Yes, girl. So let's go there. Let's go to like the number one question that comes up in doula groups, which again, we are not up on our high horse. This is something that a lot of people had to get to the point of understanding that the difference between like getting something and attracting something, in this case, the difference between getting and finding clients and attracting clients. Mm-hmm. So that's the number one question that comes up is like, hey, y'all, how do I get my first client? How do I build clientele? How do I find clients? And so I just want y'all to think about what get means, like what is the definition of get, or what are the things that come up for you when you think about that word? And when I looked it up, this was a couple of days ago, some of the things that were coming up were like to take something, or this thing of like something that is not yours, right? That is not willingly coming to you, something that you are, again, taking essentially, versus when you think of the word attract, that is you just being you. And for whatever it is about you, whatever it is about what you're offering, that in this case, clients, potential clients are coming towards you. And so I know that sounds really like, what are you talking about? What does that mean? We'll get into that more, but we have to like reframe before we even start talking about strategies and tools and social media and your website is this idea that we're not getting anybody. We're not getting anything. We're not finding anything. We need to get in position for people to know who we are, what we offer, and just exchange those words, y'all, because nobody wants to like get got. I don't think anybody who's pregnant is wanting to be taken. So that'll become a little more clear as we go into some of these things down here, but we have to start to reframe before we even start to apply these strategies that this is not a thing of how can we go hunt people down. So did you want to add anything on that? Because we are definitely going to jump into some of these social media things.
Yeah, I think that we all probably have experienced being got at one time or another. And what comes up for me is a lot of people who are in our friend groups or our family or our coworkers who start to join multi-level marketing groups where now they want to sell you Color Street or they want to sell you Avon or Mary Kay or some of those things because they're trying to get extra income or whatever that looks like. And so all of a sudden, somebody who you haven't heard from in months is now in your DMs on Facebook or on Instagram, and they're trying to tell you about their great offer through Mary Kay or through Avon and how XYZ, or they want you to host some sort of party, right? Where you're getting all your friends together in order to listen to this Color Street presentation, right? And for me, it's always shocking. It's always jarring. It's always a person who you haven't heard from in weeks or months or years just popping in, and you're automatically like, they're only talking to me because they want to make a sale. And
That
it's
part of
starting to think about like, how would that have been different if you just so happened to be scrolling through and saw something on their Instagram page that made you go, oh, you know what? I was thinking about going to go get my nails done, but I was thinking about doing some press ons, and I was trying to, you know, money's a little bit tight this week. Let me hit this person up and see about their Color Street, you know, catalog and what they have for sale. Or, you know what? I just ran out of my favorite lipstick. Let me hit this person up because this lipstick haul that they just did through Avon is absolutely fire, and I have to know what color that is and how I can buy it immediately. Or let me hit this person up because they are literally doing a walkthrough of all of the pieces that they have through their virtual boutique. And that shirt is so cute. It will look amazing on me at my next virtual consultation with a potential client. Let me hit that person up. Now, you see how that person attracted you versus the first person that hopped in your DMs and tried to get you.
it's
Like,
cold
so.
calling. We out here, doulas are out here cold calling people. We out here cold calling people, and that never feels good to get a random call from somebody that you don't know who they are or you haven't talked to them in a long time, whose sole intention is, I have this thing for you. That really, you can feel when something is about you and when something is about somebody else, when it's of benefit to them. And so that's what it feels like. And so, starting to reframe the idea that you have to hunt for people, which we'll get into more later as well. Starting to understand that there are people already out here who desperately want what you're offering. And so, by going and hunting, and just having this energy of like, I gotta find and I gotta get, is really spinning your wheels and getting nowhere a lot of the times. And it's really hard. And it's where a lot of people, kind of have doula on their resume, but they never actually did anything with it. They never actually went forward because they got stuck at that part of, well, where do the families come from? Like, how do I actually apply this knowledge, in a way to support people? So that's the first thing up front, y'all. Before we get into some of these things that we want y'all to remember, best practices, these common mistakes that are happening in different ways, and number one being social media. So, y'all, on social media, I'm gonna pick one of my favorite platforms, but this really applies in a lot of different ways, so a lot of other platforms. But let's go to Instagram. So, a lot of things that happen with doulas is you become a doula, right? You take your training and then you decide, I want to set up this business page and I want to talk about my services and do all the things, right? Which is awesome. But then back to this thing, this energy of I have to get these clients. Either you're going that route of trying to find all these pregnant people, random pregnant people, or you're following other doulas and you're doing these doula follow trains where now your feed is full of an echo chamber, essentially. You have a feed that is an echo chamber of the work that you already do, and the people on your feed, the people who are following you, don't need your services. But you're saying all this great content, sharing this information with people who don't need what you have. So y'all, following other doulas is not something I'm telling you not to do. Absolutely connect, network, collaborate with intention though. You can, like, it cannot be a feed full of other birth workers, because that's not attracting anybody who you actually plan on working with.
I mean,
unless
that's your potential client. I mean, if you want to be a doula for pregnant doulas, then yeah, absolutely. Then do all of the things. But if you don't want to be a doula for other doulas in whatever space that you do doula work, this could be birth, this could be postpartum, this could be bereavement loss, this could be sibling, this could be death. Like the advice is the same, like hopping in Facebook groups and going, oh, here's my new page, follow me, because you want followers, right? But like the point of having social media is to be social and also to inform and connect with people who can use what you have to offer. So it's like two things. So it's like, be social, that's fantastic. Sure, connect with other doulas. Deja and I actually met on Instagram. It's nothing wrong with that. But if you're out here trying to attract a client and you don't want to doula for other doulas in whatever subcategory of birth work you're in, then hop out of those follow trains and Facebook groups, because they're literally doing nothing for you. They're as effective as hashtagging all of your work doula. If you are a doula mm-hmm. that's looking for expecting parents or postpartum families or bereavement and loss or death, like a sibling, it doesn't matter again what category of birth work you're in. If you're on Instagram and you're hashtagging doulas rock, birth doula, postpartum doula, first of all, it's a very high probability that the person who you're looking for or look not know about doulas. And so what's going to happen is that you're going to notice that you're going to start getting followers, and it's all going to say like first services or this doula or that doula. And then you're going to stop and say, well, dang, like, why am I attracting all of these doulas? Because doulas follow doula hashtags, not the family that you're looking to attract, or the single people that you're looking to, whoever that person, LGBTQIA families that you're looking to attract, they're probably not following doula hashtags. Now, again, if you know for sure that you're looking to attract people who are doulas or midwives or chiropractors, or they're in our space, then that may be the case that they are looking at those hashtags. But for 99.9% of y'all, I'm pretty sure that that's not some type of energy that you're looking to get. And so you're confused when it's like, oh, 18 doulas started following me in the last 30 days. And you're like, well, I don't know why. And it's because we are the ones following the hashtags, not the expecting families, right? We have to remember what perspective those people are sitting in who we're looking to attract. So a lot of them don't know that we exist even still in 2022. And a lot of them know that we exist, but they're not clear on what we do. So they still don't know if they need us. So, yeah.
On that same note of social media sometimes being an echo chamber for that reason, I'm mm-hmm. just going to tell you right now, for whoever's listening, and give you a word of advice as far as how we're saying networking is powerful, collaboration is powerful, how we met on social media, right? Follow other birth workers, other doulas, other people doing lactation with intention, because we're not all out here. I'm not saying you have to follow people who agree with exactly what you agree, have the same perspective. Absolutely diversify and get to know things and learn more. What I am saying though is, you know, accounts that you might follow or people that you connect with that it's just not in alignment for whatever reason, it's not. And so clean that up, just the same way you would clean up your physical area and your space, clean up your social media and go ahead and go through and see what's not of benefit to you as far as your goals with using social media. So if your goals with social media have nothing to do with marketing your services and you do just want to use it to connect and collaborate, do that. If you do want to use it as a way to attract clients, y'all, I'm going to tell you now, it's really not about the follower count. It's really not about the likes and whatnot. It is purely about making connection with people who actually need what you're offering. So One more thing on social media before we go to the second mistake that's happening a lot with attracting clients on social media. Y'all, social media is social. Social media is, I want to connect with another person. And a lot of y'all are nowhere to be found at all on your pages. So what I do a lot of times when I'm on Instagram is I will see a birth worker, see a doula maybe, and hop on their page to see what they're talking about, what kind of information they're putting out, just who this person is. And they will be nowhere to be found on their page. No picture, no video, no nothing. And so maybe it's some really great informational content, but the person is nowhere there. And so you're putting somebody in a position of, hire me as your doula for this really intimate experience in my life, but I have no idea who you are, what you look like, how you sound. I have no idea any of that because you're nowhere to be found on your social media, y'all. And so the hard thing is, and the hard question you have to ask yourself as far as showing up online and posting the pictures, posting up the videos, going live is, and this one somebody might not like, but I'm just going to say it. Is it more important to protect yourself in the sense of not wanting to be seen and not wanting to be visible? Is that more important than what the family needs to hear, what that client needs to hear, what that person who's struggling with infertility needs to hear, what that person who is deep in the trenches of postpartum needs to know, right? Like, is it more important to protect the ego of not wanting to be seen, not wanting to get it wrong, not wanting to feel awkward? Is that more important than the valuable work that you're doing that nobody knows about because you won't get on there and actually tell them about it and you won't let them see your face? So like I said, that might be something, maybe I said that one a little harshly, but that one is the real that I need y'all to know, which one is more important to you and how can we move towards the valuable work that you hold inside of you and letting people know about that.
Yeah. And on social media, I think too, like, it's okay to just pick one platform that you're going to use in order to communicate who you are and what you do, because I do feel like, especially as like a solo entrepreneur, you don't really know yet all of the hats that you're going to have to wear and all of the things that you're going to have to do, right? Like, you know that it's just you and you have to figure everything out, but you don't really know how much there is to figure out if you've never run a business before and then you just start down the path. So it's like, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm on TikTok, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Pinterest. And it's like all of these different accounts. I'm be honest, I never even got on Snapchat and I still haven't gotten on TikTok. And it's not because the stuff doesn't seem amazing. It absolutely does. It's just literally because I'm like, I don't have the capacity for another social media platform. I literally did for my business, Facebook and Instagram for like 90 days. I might still technically be in hiding. And it's just because it's so overwhelming to be in all of those places at the same time and the capacity that it really takes to plan and show up in those places. Once a day, once a week, once a month, whatever that looks like. And so I just really got overwhelmed. And so I just quit and I like super procrastinated, scrolled social media on my personal pages, but my business social media was literally sucking the life out of me, like seriously. And so I just want everybody to know that like, you don't have to be on 18 million platforms because you're trying to get visible and attract clients. I think that people think that like doing a little bit in a whole lot of places goes far, and it's not true. Really, just so showing up in one place consistently and going 10 toes down on one platform is better than having 10 platforms with no consistency, no commitment. And believe me, you can burn out on social media. So especially when you're doing it for business, because it's not the same as your personal page, because now you're doing it with intention. With your personal page, you just post whenever you feel like, whenever you have something to say, like it's super duper low key. And so if you start to feel overwhelmed, I even suggest just starting with your personal page. If that is something that you feel like you can use to start to attract people and you do feel comfortable there, and the thought of creating something for business is overwhelming with just managing the two, just start with where you are and what you have, and then eventually you can grow into a business social media account. So I will say too, as far as social media etiquette, say what you want. We do live in a free country where you can say whatever you want and do whatever you want. If you're going to use your personal page, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you think about everything you post and if you would be comfortable with a potential client seeing it, and if you would hire a doula who posted what you posted. So that goes to, you know, all types of things. And I'm not trying to say you should hide your life or whatever. I'm not trying to say that. But I definitely do think that some of us post every thought, every inkling, every feeling that we've ever had on social media. And just knowing that that is public, even if you make it private, people can still screenshot and get that out to other people. It happens all the time. And are you comfortable with that being the outward appearance and representation of you in the way that you operate as a doula and the way that you operate as a business? Because that's what people will relate it back to. So just being mindful of that. And like I said, I know things happen, but if you got stuff on there about, you know, your significant other or your baby daddy or your mom or your dad or, you know, political views or, you know, anti-whatever, like whatever that looks like, just be comfortable with the fact that people will probably do their research. And if people see that and choose to hire you or not to hire you, how do you feel about that?
Oh, we most definitely live in a world of I'm going to stalk you before I hire you, especially as a doula. Like if I can find mm-hmm. more information about you, we can run laps around social media. Social media is a whole thing in and of itself. We can go deeper on that. I just wrote something down. We'll have something special for y'all after this because I just, yeah, we got a lot for social media. Let's hit on the second thing, which kind of ties into social media with the second mistake that happens a lot when people are attracting their first client or whatever clients that, whatever number this is for you, is hunting people down. And so this could be hunting down your family members who are now expecting, hunting down that friend who you used to go to high school with that just posted that she's pregnant, or literally being in the grocery store. And first of all, you don't know if that person's expecting. You kind of see something physically that might indicate they are, but you don't know for sure. But seeing somebody somewhere and then, hey, congratulations, I'm a doula type thing. So hunting people down is a big mistake that people are making because it goes back to this energy of trying to get something. You're trying to outwardly go out and get something that somebody didn't ask for. It's cold calling again. It's going out and you don't know anything about this person. You don't know where they're at, what they actually need. And you're presenting something to them through the lens of something that's really about you and at this point in time has nothing to do with them.
It's funny because so many people in my family who are expecting babies who I say nothing to. And like in my family and in my personal network, it's like I've made it very clear that based on my social media that I'm interested in pregnancy, birth, and the postpartum period. I've made it very clear that I support people. So I never reach out first. If you DM me and you ask me, then cool. I consider that an invitation. If you have not DM'd me and you have not asked me and you haven't seen the post or haven't thought or whatever it is, I don't ask. Now, there have been situations where my sister knows what I do. And so my sister has coworkers where she works. My sister works at a bank, one of her jobs. And so she has a coworker who was looking for a doula. And so she said, oh, my sister is a doula, blah, 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 blah. And then she texted me like, hey, I have a coworker whose daughter is blah, 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 blah. Is it okay? Cool. Like, absolutely. So that's my sister making the connection for me. Now, my sister has a relationship with her coworker. I've never met this person before in my life, right? So that's the thing too, like allowing people who you know to open up the door and introduce you to other people. So like, I would say, hey, I saw that your friend is expecting. Let me know, you know, if they're interested in doula support. I'd be happy to chat with them about what that looks like and what that is if they are interested in getting some preparation around labor or around the postpartum period or want to talk to somebody. Like, so allow someone to do a warm interview, like by introducing you to who you don't know rather than going in busting open the door. Because let's be honest, like, again, that person doesn't know you and didn't ask for it. So it's once again going back to that social media DM with your friend who's selling Avon, but you never said that you had ashy knuckles or you wanted nail polish. It's like, okay, sis, I didn't ask for this. You know what I mean? So we definitely want to make sure that, like, it's a lukewarm conversation by having somebody who can be in between us to, you know, say something. Now, if you want to make it clear, sure, wear the doula t-shirt, wear the doula jacket or the hoodie in public, and then allow people to be attracted to you or ask you, oh, what is a doula? Or, oh, you know what? I am pregnant and I was just looking for a doula. Or I know somebody who's looking for a doula. Or you see somebody looking confused in the diaper aisle, which happened to me at Target. And I'm like, hey, y'all, I see y'all don't know what size diapers to buy. And you don't know if you should buy a one or a two. Definitely buy a one rather than a newborn. Newborn diapers go too quickly and they won't be able to use them, or they'll only use them for 5 seconds. And they were like, oh, okay. Like, so, and I'm like, you know, I know because I'm a doula and I support a lot of expecting families, go to a lot of baby showers, just wanted to help. And, you know, and they laughed and they were like, okay, cool. So like, if you're going to be helpful in the moment, then that's the best way to be helpful. Or you're a lactation consultant and you just happen to know a lot about formula and you see somebody struggling in the formula aisle, then you might want to say, oh, I'm a lactation consultant. Did you mind if I share some information with you? It looks like you're a little bit overwhelmed. That's different, right? Because now you're being helpful. You're not just going up to somebody to tell them all about you and why you're so great and what skills and knowledge you possess. You're giving them the opportunity to get help from you, or giving them the opportunity to ask you about what you have on, right? Like, ask me, I'm a doula, I can help. Like, if that's the pain you have on and you're walking around the grocery store and somebody initiates that with you, then you've attracted that person. Go ahead and talk to them. But yeah, I think you definitely have to be careful. You don't want to turn people off. And then the other annoying thing is that you do go ahead and shoot your shot, and then the person says to you, oh, I'm interested, but I really don't know. And then you go, oh, well, I don't really want to explain or do a whole lot of education around, or they sound like they're not really interested. And it's like, no, it's not that. It's that they're not clear on what it is. And so being a doula, a large part of it is educating people on doing how you can help. And a lot of us don't know how to do that and don't have the language to do that. And we'll hop into that in a minute. But yeah, hunting versus attracting for sure.
It's the service piece when it comes to hunting people down. Hunting people down is usually about, again, what can I gain from this versus you can still initiate conversation that is through the lens of, if somebody is needing support, how can I support them in this moment? And of course, let them know that this is what I do. These are the services that I offer, but not leading with it. It never feels good to lead with trying to gain something. It always feels good to help people. And then absolutely follow up behind that with letting them know about what you offer, which kind of takes that to number three, the number three mistake that a lot of doulas are making when it comes to attracting clients is kind of just announcing the fact that they're doulas and announcing the fact that I have these services and not really taking people on a journey. And so what I mean by that is an announcement is, let's say you took your doula training, you just got out, maybe you are in the process of completing certification, but maybe you have like your training certificate. It's almost like posting your certificate up on the wall and being like, I'm open now, I'm a doula. And then maybe you make like the Facebook post on your personal page and you're like, y'all, I'm out here, I'm ready, here are my services. And maybe you have a website too. And you make this announcement, and then like, that's the one time that you say it. You don't really talk about it too much more. Or if somebody does ask you something like you just mentioned, Jariel, it's kind of like, yeah, I'm a doula, but there's no other context to like what that even means. So announcing yourself versus taking people on a journey. So what does that look like to take
somebody on a journey? You're not going to come from my neck. I did that exact thing.
Tell me what you did.
I did that exact thing. So 2019, I decided I was going to become a doula again. 2020, fast forward, I took my doula training And I posted my certification on Facebook. It got like 120 or something reactions. Everybody was so excited. Had no damn idea what a doula was or what I did or what any of it meant. And I stopped there.
I'm weak as hell.
I did that exact thing. And I got 2 clients that year. I don't think those 2 things were a coincidence.
Yeah. Don't let me
tell
exactly
you. Yeah, exactly what I did.
Because it's me. I'm talking about myself too. For me, it was taking my training. I created this beautiful website, and that was my extent of like, I'm a doula. Here's my website. Here's how you book. And so the problem with the announcement thing and just I'm a doula, here's my services. The thing with that, taking people on a journey who are expecting and probably have not heard the word doula yet, or who birth might not even exactly be on the radar. So let's say for my birth doulas out there who are wanting to say, here are the services I offer, da da this and that, here's how we can work together for a better birth experience. Sometimes birth in and of itself, even though it's on our radar, it's at the forefront of our head of like somebody's pregnant, how are they preparing for birth? Sometimes it's not on somebody's like forefront that they are actually like right now concerned about. It's probably something that they get to 34 weeks, 35 weeks for some people before they're like, oh, I didn't take the childbirth education class. I didn't think about this. And so it's not to say that it can't happen earlier. It's to say that you got to meet people where they are on their journey right now and take them along these steps that get them to a point of understanding, oh, you're the person who can not only help me during my birth experience, but you can help and support me right now with what I'm feeling right now in my pregnancy. And so for my people who are out there who do want to post, we kind of talked about social media, but along this line of like not just announcing yourself as a doula, but taking people on a journey, start to acknowledge things that people may be thinking about or experiencing right now, not later, and how they could prepare for birth, but right now, how might people be experiencing something like information overload when it comes to pregnancy about what can I eat? I can't eat that. Oh, I can't eat this. That's not safe. What they might be experiencing with just like big life changes, having to think about stepping away from work or how they're navigating relationships. Like, what are these other life things that are happening that pregnancy is affecting this or preparing for a baby that can take people on a journey of understanding that doula support in more ways than just squeezing hips on Labor Day or, you know, holding hands and rubbing your back. Like, we do way more than that. And so we have to stop telling people, y'all. We have to stop telling people when people say, oh, what is a doula? What do you do? That I provide physical, mental, emotional, informational support when you're giving birth. Because I know, at least for me, and I know like 99% of y'all out here aren't only showing up during birth. And so a lot of people just think that. A lot of people have this idea that if they do know what a doula is, that this doula is just showing up when I'm popping my baby out, and they're not getting what's the importance of me hiring a doula right now in my pregnancy. That yes, I can reach out to you for pregnancy concerns, for where do I find a good support band for my belly? Should I consider chiropractic care? Can you just listen to me vent about how I'm really overwhelmed by all these changes? Like, they don't even know that you're the person that could be really guiding them through that, because you just announced that you're a doula. And they said, that's really great. That's awesome. And they have no idea what that means to them. It means something to you, and that's beautiful, but it means nothing to them, unfortunately.
Yeah, if you're an aspiring doula, get your pen and your paper out. I'm about to give you 10 posts that you can post right now and plan to post. And this is what I would do if I could go back to 2020 and be me again and know what I know now. So post number one is going to be you when you sign up for doula training. So in this post, you're going to talk about why you signed up for doula training, why it's so important to you, why you're so excited, and why you have made this decision, right? So that's what I would have done. So I would have told everybody, hey, I just signed up for doula training. This is why I'm re-entering birth work. This is what I hope to be able to do. This is the impact that I hope to be able to make and what I've been doing to prepare to sign up for it, right? So I've been saving, working overtime, it, like whatever that looks like, right? So I would go through that, and that would be post number one. Post number two would be my journey to training. So if you are going to travel somewhere, if it's going to be a road trip, if it's going to be a flight, even if it's going to be virtual, like what is the journey for me to get to training? So I'm flying, for me, I flew to Florida. So I would take pictures of me at the airport and going through, you know, security check and talk about the things that I hope that I learn in training, the things that I'm nervous and afraid about, and what I hope to be able to do after I leave training. Post number three would be me like in the midst of training, right? So this would be me on break or on lunch throughout, because it was a two-day in-person training. So during day one, you get like a break in the middle, and then you also got like some mini breaks in between. So I would talk about how I'm just checking in, what I learned so far, how I'm feeling. And I would do the same thing on day two. So on day two, when I had my break, we're coming to a close. Here are all the things that I learned. Here are all the things that I'm so excited to share with expecting families. I'm a birth doula. I went to birth doula training during this time. So that's what I would do while I was there, right? So then as I'm leaving, right, I'm leaving Florida. So now I'm in my hotel, in my Uber, in the airport, like, wow, the last 2 days have been absolutely amazing. Here are some of the takeaways that I took away from this training. Here are some of the relationships that I've built. Here are some of the things that I hope I'll be able to accomplish in the future, right? In that post. Then the next post is going to be me going through the certification process. Hey, I'm so excited to let y'all know. After the workshop, now I have to attend CPR, and I also have to take these exams. So I'm so nervous. I hope that I know all of the information. Here are the things that I'm doing to study for these exams. Here are the things that I'm learning in CPR, like blah, 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 blah. Then the next post would be, oh my gosh, yippee, now I'm certified, right? So people have a lead up to me just posting a picture of a certification, and they don't know what I'm talking about or what I've done or the prep that's gone into it or why they should care or what I'm doing with this certification I've been working on in secret in the back cave. Don't nobody know nothing about it, right? So now they're like, oh, you're certified. Oh my gosh, we saw you when you signed up for this training, when you went to Florida and how you were feeling. We cannot believe it. That happened. That's so amazing for you, right? I'm going to send all of my expecting friends your way. Why do they know that they need to send all of their expecting friends my way? Because they followed me on the journey, right? So certification is the first stop. The next stop will be me talking about like what I wish that I had in my own personal life. So if you are a parent already, like I was the second time around, I would talk about the impact that doula support had on me and the impact that I hope to make through doula support now that I am a trained and certified doula, right? So it's like, hey, story one, hey, this is what happens to my husband. If you could have your partner come, if you guys are both supported and you guys can both talk about that, here's the impact that doula support made on us. Part two of the story, here's the impact that I hope to make on other people now that I've experienced doula support and now that I am a doula, right? And then last but not least, we need to start talking about the people that you have to network with right now, who everybody will have access to. So I would talk about the chiropractors that I'm meeting, the nurse midwives that I'm meeting, the midwives that I'm meeting, the benefits of their services. And I would even go live or maybe record some content with them and make it a collaboration. That way now you're on their social media and on their website, as well as on your own platform, which will help you attract clients, right? So we're being strategic, we're having a journey, and we're having content all in one, and we're making a resource list and building our foundation, right? Which we have to do anyway. So we might as well just document it. Like, it makes sense, right? So that's what I would do if I was to go back all over again and do it. If you come to Doula Night School, How to Attract Clients, I'll be able to give you 30 days of content that you can post. So this is just a snippet. If you want the whole shebang, you need to sign up. It's only $20.22. We're doing our second doula night school, How to Attract Your First or Next Doula Client. And as you guys can see, if we're telling you all this for free, you definitely want to see what we'll tell you once you hit the pay button and come tonight. You do get access to a replay for 7 days. If you miss any notes or can't come live, have to leave or have kids around, don't worry. You'll be able to access a replay for 7 days. So sign up, click the link in the description, and we still have another point to go.
I hope everybody wrote that down, because I'm taking notes. I'm like, hold on. Like, I've been creating content for 3 years. Hold on. If I could go back, I wish I could go back, because it does paint a way better picture of what do you actually do, which kind of ties into this point. It's the fourth point about the way that doulas are making mistakes with marketing themselves and attracting clients is creating content where you're making it about you and not the expecting person. So it really does tie back to this kind of announcing things and not taking people on the journey. But I really want you to think about what it means to somebody, again, this whole thing that you really just broke down so beautifully, what it means when you're just, when you see a pregnant person and you're making it about you being a doula, the information that you know, the comfort measures that you can do, the tools that you have, all these different things, where there's a difference between what you just described, Jariel, of taking people on the journey of like, well, why am I doing this work? What am I learning? There's a difference between that and then spitting off like statistics and facts to people about doula work and not getting inside of somebody's head who is expecting to understand what do they need to hear right now and what kind of support do they need. And so this is even something like, this is a little further ahead than just attracting the client, but this even extends to like when you have an interview with somebody. So let's say you've actually attracted the client and they are ready to have an interview and do this consultation. Sometimes you won't even get that person. You won't even get to work with that person because the whole interview was about you and what you could do and what you offer and how many sessions this is. And it had nothing to do with them or asking them a question about how are you really doing right now? And how are you feeling? How are you processing what's happening? What are your goals for your experience? A lot of that's not in the conversation. It's just a lot of me, my perspective, a lot of my own story, right? So a lot of doulas come into the work purely sometimes from a place, like a good place, right? Of I had this really empowering birth experience and I want to be able to support other people in that. And some people come into the work through the lens of trying to make other people's experience their own. And so it's just a lot of me. Here's me. Here's what I do. Here's what, and it has nothing to do with other people, y'all. And the type of work that we do, how intimate it is and the service that we offer, it has to be about the person. It can't just be about us, because again, at that point, they'll like the post, you're a doula, congratulations. And it won't mean anything to them because you didn't talk to them. You didn't form relationship and get to have conversation about what their fears are, what their worries are, what's keeping them up at night, because all you're telling them is that a doula can decrease this by this much and increase by this, but it means nothing to them because right now I'm experiencing this really hard thing. And whatever you're talking about, that sounds great, but it has nothing to do with me right now. You're not helping me solve my problem right now that's keeping me up at night. So start to think about that. What is that person who you desire to work with? What is keeping them up at night? And let's start focusing more on talking and speaking to that versus all the amazing statistics and facts about doula support, which are awesome, but we can save for like World Doula Week. Let's save that for World Doula Week, where we share all those great things and start to focus on what is this person needing right now and how can I serve them? What can I give to them that they are needing?
Yeah, and that brings us to our last point, which is people who really don't have the capacity to do doula work, but have signed up for doula work and done the training and then are confused because the training was 3, 4, 5, 6, 18 months ago, and you have not gotten your first client. So I see this a lot with some of our coaching clients where you sign up to do birth doula work because it's sexy and it's interesting and it's mysterious, and you get the phone call and you get to slip out into the middle of the night, and you really wish that you had a doula to advocate and support you during your pregnancies and births. And so this is how you're going to even the score. That's fantastic. And also, you have 5 kids under the age of 5, and your partner works 80 hours a week, and your mom lives 45 minutes away, and it's off on weekends, but definitely couldn't like watch the baby during the week. Your best friend lives in another state, and childcare costs $1 million. So you're a stay-at-home mom. Maybe you have another like side hustle or business you've been doing before you became a doula. Maybe you're active in your church. Maybe you're volunteering as a part of like some local like mission or movement or whatever that looks like. Or maybe you just graduated college and you really have to focus on getting a job and generating an income. And so you don't have the space or capacity in your schedule or the flexibility at your job to really sneak away like a thief in the night and support somebody at a birth and be gone for 3 days without notice, right? And so a lot of us are actively and unintentionally repelling clients because we don't have the capacity in our life to support them at a real level. And we know that we don't internally. We could never admit it out loud or admit it to ourselves, but internally we know that we don't. And we're confused, like, oh, I don't really know what's going on. Where are the clients? And it's like, you are not calling in the clients. You're actually repelling the clients. And it's because you know you, and you know what you have room for, and you know that you really feel like, how would this ever work? How would this ever work in a traditional model? How would I ever be able to support somebody? I know for sure I would have myself in quite a hole. I don't have a backup doula. I don't have anybody around, and I don't have a system set in place for my life, let alone anything else in my life. And I know for sure that I could not be all that a birth client would need, expect, or deserve. So I'm actively not putting myself out there. I'm actively hating on the people that are attracting clients and landing clients. I'm actively resentful, right, about the progress of the people who I went to my doula training with and who are a part of my cohort. And I'm sitting on the sidelines, saying that people won't hire me because I'm this or because I'm that or because I don't do this or because I don't do that. When we really know that the truth is that we don't have the capacity for that person. We don't have the room in our life for that person. And that's why they haven't shown up.
Oh, is this a video recording going up on YouTube? Because my eyes, if y'all could see my face, I'm just like, yes, ma'am. That's because that's what it is. That's what it is. It's
1,000% what it is.
That's what it is. Is, are you actively repelling people consciously and subconsciously, right? Hanging your sign on the door saying, I'm ready to support people, but your energy is completely, you're completely closed off to the opportunity because you don't have the space for it. And that's okay, but you got to acknowledge that, right? Acknowledge that part of the puzzle and not making it more than it is, not making it less than what it is. Like, hey, I don't have the capacity for this. And that's why I am not attracting clients. Not that people don't know enough about doula support and nobody will hire me because I'm this and blah, blah, blah. I hope y'all took notes because we just laid it down for y'all, and we're going to give the other parts of this, dig deeper into what it actually looks like to attract clients. So what are the actual ways in which you can just be you and show up and talk about the things you do? And how does that work that somebody is attracted to you and how they find you? We're going to be talking about that tomorrow night during Doula Night School, how to attract your first or your next client. And I'm excited to dig into all the things.
Me too. So Doula Night School, how to attract your first or next client, is happening Thursday, February the 3rd. It's going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Last time we met, we went for 2.5 hours. So definitely block off your calendar, block off your schedule. It's going to be a snowstorm here on the East Coast. So get your hot chocolate, snuggle up with your laptop, and let's dive into how we can really start to attract clients. If you have not yet taken the training, I still highly recommend taking our workshop, because we're going to dive into this in a way that I guarantee your doula training won't. And so this will be a leg up and an edge up for you in order to get through your certification process faster and with more ease, and to avoid some roadblocks that you are not aware are ahead of you. So I highly, highly, highly recommend it. It's only $20.22. You will have limited access to a replay for 7 days. So we cannot wait to see you guys inside of this training. We are going to be live. Okay, we're going to be on Zoom. We're going to be giving you all the same energy that we give you on the podcast. And we will have a Q&A section at the end. So once we have completed all of the things that we want to tell you and teach you and show you and all the action steps we want to give you, you will be able to ask your questions live of us. So if you do have questions that you feel like we would be the perfect people to answer, we would love to hear those questions and to answer those questions live. So definitely grab all of your pens, all of your papers, all of your note-taking devices. We cannot wait to dive into this and to help you make the impact that you really wanted to make when you signed up to be a doula, in whatever way or capacity that looks like. So Doula Night School, how to attract your first or next client. Again, it's February 3rd at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm super duper excited. Thank y'all again for joining us and for being a part of the community. We couldn't do it without you.
Yes, you have a beautiful, beautiful day. We will see you soon.